The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Lyle, Lyle, Crocodile by Bernard Weber. This is the house on East 88th Street. Mr. and Mrs. Prim and their son Joshua live in the house on East 88th Street. And so does Lyle. Listen. Swish, swash, splash, swoosh. That's Lyle. Lyle is the crocodile, and this picture here shows him in the bathtub enjoying the swim. He's big enough to fit in the bathtub now, but not too big. Lyle was very happy living with the Prim family. He was especially helpful when he was being useful, like helping Joshua brush up on schoolwork. And here, Lyle the crocodile is holding a flashcard that's adding 9 plus 6 and equals, and Joshua had to give him the answer and helping him with other problems like that, math problems. But if Lyle was happy, he was making someone else very unhappy, perfectly miserable, in fact. That someone else was Loretta, Mr. Grumps' cat. Mr. Grumps lived just 2 houses away from the Prims. Whenever his cat caught even the slightest glimpse of Lyle, she would fling herself into a nervous fit. Lyle wanted desperately to win Loretta over. He tried flashing his sweetest, most toothsome smile at her to show her how really friendly he was. But this only frightened the distrustful animal even more. In the end, Mr. Grumps, who was even more excitable than this cat, would burst from the house, shaking an angry fist at Lyle. "Something will have to be done about that crocodile," he shouted, as Lyle fled to the safety of his own house. To take his mind off his troubles with Loretta and Mr. Grumps, Lyle filled his days playing with Joshua and Joshua's friends. He loved being it in hide and seek. He could skip double dutch 100 times without missing. It came as no particular surprise that Lyle could high jump. But when Loretta, who was just let out for an airing, was surprised, she was terribly surprised, and here it shows that cat just all fuzzed up with her hair sticking on end and her tail sticking up and her back up. Loretta was so surprised and so frightened that she fled to the nearest tree, and no amount of coaxing could bring her down. Not until Mr. Grumps arrived to rescue her and comfort her would she even consider coming down. "Something will have to be done about that crocodile," stormed Mr. Grumps. Now Mr. Grumps was really furious. Now he knew he would be snappy and irritable and impossible to live with when he returned to his job in a big department store the following day. For the next several days, Mrs. Prim thought it best to keep Lyle close by her side. Together they fussed about the kitchen, preparing good things for the family to eat. When the weather permitted, she took Lyle to the park for a picnic. Lyle was always one for sharing, and here he's sharing some of his bread from his sandwich with all the pigeons who were gathered round him. They even took trips downtown. There was much to see in the big city, and much to do. Mrs. Prim could spend hours just browsing around antique shops. Lyle could spend hours watching buildings constructions. They both loved to ice skate, and there's Mrs. Prim and Lyle ice skating together. This was only in the winter, of course. One day, Mrs. Prim and Lyle went shopping in a big department store. Unfortunately for everyone, it turned out to be the very same store in which Mr. Grumps held an important position. And unfortunately, they were to hear from Mr. Grumps all too soon. for it was his voice that suddenly broke in over the loudspeaker to announce a sale in the pajama department. Immediately, it was as if everyone in the store was in desperate need of pajamas. Separated from Mrs. Prim, Lyle was swept along with the crowd. As they neared the pajama department, Lyle thought he heard a familiar voice. "Lyle! Lyle!" the voice called out. Lyle recognized the voice all right, and the face as well. The voice and the face belonged to Hector P. Valenti, star of stage and screen. But what was Senior Valenti up to now? Well, for the moment, it seemed he was very busy selling pajamas. Lyle remembered unhappily his days of traveling and performing with Senior Valenti. But in spite of everything, the two were delighted to see each other once more. And I guess that's in a different book where Mr. Valenti had Lyle, the crocodile, and he took him all over and made him perform his tricks and kept Lyle in a cage, and it was not fun for Lyle at all. But now Lyle was safely living with Mr. and Mrs. Prim and Joshua and his sister, I think. In another part of the store, Mrs. Prim searched frantically for Lyle. "Excuse me," she said to the lady at the information booth, "have you seen a crocodile going past? He was wearing a red scarf." "No," answered the lady, "I have no information about a crocodile wearing a red scarf." "Excuse me," said Mrs. Prim to the sporting goods salesman, "have you by any chance come across a crocodile? His name is Lyle." "Sorry, madam," answered the salesman, "I have not come across any crocodiles named Lyle today." Mrs. Prim grew more and more upset. "Excuse me," she said to a man wearing a white carnation, "I have lost my crocodile, and I don't know what to do." Whatever the man answered, Mrs. Prim never heard it, for his voice was lost in a chorus of others' voices shouting, "More! More!" The voices belonged to the huge crowd of shoppers surrounding Hector P. Valenti and Lyle. Because they had an audience, and because Senior Valenti could not resist showing off, he had persuaded Lyle to join him in a free performance of their old stage act. "More, more," the surprised but delighted shoppers called out, forgetting all about wanting or even needing pajamas. Mrs. Prim caught up with them just in time to hear another voice charged with fury shout, "What is going on here?" And this was Mr. Grumps. And when Mr. Grumps saw that what was really going on, his face turned red, blue, and purple with rage. "Madam," he gasped, "we do not permit crocodiles in this store, you know. Remove him at once." "And you, sir," he said, pointing a dagger-like finger at Senior Valenti, "you, sir, are dismissed." "Something will have to be done about that crocodile." Those warning words of Mr. Grumps still rang in their ears as they said goodbye to Mr. Valenti, Senior Valenti, outside the store. Mr. Grumps at last made good his threat to do something about that crocodile. The next day he appeared at the Prim's door with papers authorizing Lyle to be committed to the city zoo. "The zoo?" Mrs. Prim exclaimed miserably. "Whatever would Lyle be doing in the zoo?" "He'll be doing whatever it is normal crocodiles are supposed to be doing," snapped Mr. Grumps, who wasn't being nice at all about it. The Prims examined the papers. They appeared to be in order. There was little they could do, at least for the moment, to prevent Mr. Grumps from putting Lyle in the zoo. Lyle's first night in the zoo was difficult indeed, and here he is standing next to the bars of his cell, of his cage, I mean, and you could see tears coming down from his eyes. Not wanting to seem unsociable, he decided to join the other crocodiles, who were cosily piled together. Just when he thought he had gotten himself comfortable on top of that pile, he awakened to find himself crushed to the very bottom of that pile. Poor Lyle, there he is under that pile of crocodiles, being squished by so many of them. Lyle's restlessness so annoyed the other crocodiles, they all just got up and stomped off in a huff. Lyle was happier during the day when visitors came. He amused everyone with his unusual tricks, and before long was the biggest attraction at the zoo. Joshua and Mrs. Prim visited regularly, arms laden with games and toys, and the Turkish caviar that Lyle loves so much. Mrs. Prim did her best to smile and appear cheerful, but just couldn't hide her concern. "Are you feeling all right, dear?" she would ask. "Are you getting enough rest? Are you making friends with the other crocodiles? Do the lions keep you awake at night? Is the floor too damp? Do the flies pester you?" Lyle shook his head yes or no, depending on the question. He tried to put on a very brave front, but Mrs. Prim knew very well he was unhappy, and she fought back her tears. One night, a new keeper appeared at Lyle's cage. Surprise, surprise! The new keeper turned out to be none other than Hector P. Valenti, star of stage and screen. "Shh," whispered Signor Valenti. "I have come to rescue you." Signor Valenti unlocked the door of the cage, and an astonished Lyle was set free. "You can't go home again," said Signor Valenti, when they had put the zoo behind them. Signor Valenti was bursting with ideas. "We'll put our old act together again," he said. "We'll fly to Australia. They'll love us in Australia." Lyle groaned. The very thought of never seeing the house on East 88th Street again was grim indeed, and too much for him to endure. Signor Valenti read his thoughts and decided Lyle should have one last look at the house on East 88th Street. Approaching the now sleeping street, they were suddenly met with a wall of dense smoke. The smoke, they realized with horror, was coming from Mr. Grump's house. While Signor Valenti ran to signal the alarm, Lyle broke into the house and rescued the still sleeping occupants. Gasping, frightened, Mr. Grumps and his cat were led safely to the street. Now the Prims and the entire neighborhood was awake and witness to Lyle's heroism. Mr. Grumps could not thank him enough. "Ladies and gentlemen," said Mr. Grumps to the crowd of onlookers, "Lyle is the bravest, kindest, and most wonderful crocodile in the whole wide world. I would consider it a privilege and a pleasure to have him as our neighbor once more." "Hooray!" shouted the Prims. "Hooray!" shouted the crowd. Lyle moved back to the house on East 88th Street that very night. Several days later, a farewell party was given by the Prims for Signor Valenti, who was leaving to seek fortune and adventure in Australia. "Remember," said Mr. Grumps, speaking to Signor Valenti, should you change your mind about leaving, a job in my store will always be yours, just for the asking. We need people with your kind of talent and ability." And everyone smiled very happily. And there's the party with a big cake, and Lyle is sitting there at the table with Joshua and Mr. and Mrs. Prim, and Mr. Valenti and Mr. Grumps, believe it or not. I don't think his cat's there, though. The end. Oh, excuse me. Yes, even Loretta the cat was there. Here's, for the last picture, there's Lyle holding Loretta the cat. Very happy now. Our next story is Pinkalicious and the Sick Day. When the bell rang at the end of the school day, Principal Hart handed me a letter. "Give this to your mom," she said. Uh-oh, was I in trouble? When I got home, I found Mommy. I waited while she read the letter. Mommy smiled. "You have perfect attendance. Tomorrow you will get to be the principal for the day," she said. "I'm very proud of you." "Yippee," I yelled. "I'm in charge. No homework." "Well, I don't know about that," Mommy said. "However, you do get to read the morning announcements and eat lunch with Principal Hart." After dinner, I worked on my announcer's voice. "Good morning, students," I said. "Bravo, Pinkalicious," Daddy said. "You must be very excited. Your cheeks are all pink." I nodded. I was excited, but I was also very sleepy. I went to bed early. When I woke up, my head hurt. My eyes itched. My throat felt scratchy. Achoo! 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 I sneezed. Daddy took my temperature. "You have a fever," he said. "No school for you today." And he tucked me back into bed. Poor Pinkalicious. Then I remembered. "I have to go to school," I said. "I'm principal for the day." "I'm sorry, Pinkalicious," Mommy said. "I will make you some tea," said Mommy. Daddy tried to cheer me up. He put my favorite books on my bed. Then he gave me a big hug, and I went back to sleep. I woke up feeling a bit better, but I still had the sniffles. I looked in the mirror. My nose was perfectly pink. Uh-oh. Mommy came in with pink tea. "My mom used to make this for me when I was sick," she said. "It's elderberry tea." I took a sip. Yum! I got to stay in my pajamas all day. Mommy brought me crayons, and I colored in bed. I drew a picture of me riding Goldie to school. Daddy called from work to see how I was. He told me a joke to make me laugh. "Why did the pink panda go to the doctor's office?" "Because she was pink," I giggled, but I was still a little sad because I wasn't at school. I would not be able to share the joke at recess. In the afternoon, the phone rang. It was Principal Hart. "I'm homesick, too," she said. "When you come back, you can still be principal for the day." I felt a pink a million times better. And then Peter came home. "Guess what I did today," I said. "I colored and I read books, and Mommy made me pink tea, and I didn't even have to get dressed." Your little brother is there looking mad. Whoops, this page is stuck. "I want to be sick too," said Peter, and then he smelled my cold medicine. "Yuck, forget it," he said, and I giggled. The next morning, my nose was a normal color, and I felt all better. "Your temperature is normal," Mommy said. "You can go to school today." "Yay," I cheered. When I got to school, I went straight to the office. I couldn't wait to tell everyone the joke about the pink panda. "Good morning," I said. "This is Principal Pinkalicious." And there she is, over the microphone, talking to the students for the morning announcements because she was principal of the day. And that's the end of this book. Our next book is called Raccoon on His Own by Jim Aronsky. In a dark swamp, a new day dawned, like a sleepy eye, opening slowly. A small wooden boat floated, nudged against some mud. The mud was soft and sandy. A mother raccoon with her young came to dig and search for food. Mother found some crunchy crawfish. Two of the young raccoons dug for crawfish near the boat. The third young raccoon was not hungry. He wanted to climb. The hungry raccoons quickly dug up all the mud around the boat. With no sticky mud to hold it, the boat began to float away. Uh-oh, nobody noticed the other raccoon in the boat. The raccoon in the boat looked up. A chill ran down his spine. He was drifting in the boat alone. He was on his own for the very first time. Afraid to jump into the dark water, he stared back at the mud bank, and the boat silently carried him downstream. The raccoon reached up to grab a sturdy branch and climb out of the moving boat, but the branch was too high for him. The boat glided under another branch. This branch was low enough to climb, but the raccoon saw the shape of a long snake draped across the branch, and he ducked down very quickly. He crawled to the other end of the boat. Downstream, he saw shadowy shapes of plants and trees sticking up out of the water. The raccoon looked down into the dark stream and saw a raccoon looking back at him. His reflection kept him company as the boat moved along through the air so still on water so smooth. As the boat passed through lilies, a bunch of beautiful water lilies, something huge made a great splash. Uh-oh, what was that? It was a big alligator that had been hiding under the lily pads. Uh-oh, there's the alligator swimming along with only his eyes out of the water. He was very scary, and the little raccoon was so scared. Sweet, 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 came a sound from above. The raccoon looked up and saw five young warblers. They were little birdies. Sweet, 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 the birds called down. The raccoon chirred back. Three tiny turtles swam up to the boat. The raccoon reached into the water to touch one turtle's shell, and all three scattered away. Poor little raccoon. A mother merganser, is a duck. A mother merganser paddled by, leading her nine little ducklings. The raccoon watched the ducklings swimming close to their mother. He wanted his mother so badly. Suddenly, the boat bumped into another mud bank and stopped. The raccoon saw his family coming to meet him. Oh, there they are, the mother and his two brothers and sisters. He ran to his mother. He was safe, and just like that, they were all together again downstream. Our next book is called The Pink Lion by Jane Porter. Arnold was a little pink lion. Arnold's life was just right. His family just loved him. They ate the nicest food, and every day they played games down at the waterhole. Uh-oh, it looks like he has the wrong family. These seem to be flamingos, not lions. Anyways, he thought his family were these flamingos. One day, a growling gang bounced by. It's a pink lion, they said, living with a lot of birds, and it's a gang of lions. What's he doing here? He's supposed to be part of our family, these lions said. I'm a lion? Asked Arnold, puzzled. Yes, look at your face in the water, said one of the lions. It was true, they did look alike. They had the same curly hair and whiskers. Could they really be related? Come along with us, said the lions. You should be out roaring and hunting. Arnold thought perhaps he should give it a try. This is how we hunt, said the lions, and off they all raced. Arnold wasn't sure he could run that fast. Next, some washing, said the lions. It's easy. Just stick out your tongue and lick. Arnold wasn't used to the furry taste and wished he had his soap and his washcloth. Being a lion was very different from life at his home. Now, let's roar, said the lion. All you do is open wide and let it all out. Roar, roar. Squawk, said Arnold. I'm sorry, he said. You have been very kind, but I just can't do it. I'm not a proper lion. I think I'll go back to my family now. But when he got home, something terrible had happened. A very nasty crocodile had moved in. Excuse me, said Arnold. This is our water hole. Not anymore, said the crocodile. It's time you and your feathery friends moved on. I live here now. There that crocodile is with a big mouthful of very sharp and wicked-looking teeth. But Arnold didn't know what to say. He looked at the sky. He looked at the ground. And then a strange feeling like a hairy ball rose up from deep inside him and burst out of his mouth with a mighty roar. And the other lions heard Arnold calling. Together they chased that crocodile until he wished he had never seen that waterhole. and Arnold's roar was the loudest and the fiercest of all. After that, life for Arnold went back to being just right again. And bat time with his new cousins was more fun than ever. And there he is, sharing bath time with the flamingos and his lion cousins. It's a good life. And there they all swimming in the water together. And that's the end of Pink Lion. And now, for our last few minutes, we're going to hear some poems from the Please and Thank You book, which is a book of animal good manners. So the first one is called Rabbits at the Table. The rabbit's twins always taste the food that's on the table. They don't always eat it all, but they eat as much as they're able. Funny or runny or something new, they try at least a bite or two, and that's really good manners to try everything when you're at someone's house for supper or lunch, and leave it on your plate if you just cannot finish it. Now, this next one is called Pull Yourself Together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair is uncombed and there's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. That's because it's already all over her dress. Doesn't she know it isn't polite to make others look at such a sad sight? She really is sad. There's dirt just all over her face, her hair sticking out this way and that way. Her dress is all dirty, and it's actually a jumper, and this sweater underneath does not match that jumper. This one is called Not So Wild Cats. Wild cats make their mother roar the way they slam that kitchen door. If they would close it quietly, they'd see how pleased their mum would be. Leopards look before they leap. Leopards look before they leap. They cross only with the light. And when they cross a crowded street, they try to keep to the right. And there they are going across. And one more quick one. Elephants remember. Thoughtful elephants always remember to wipe their muddy feet. They come inside when their feet are dried. They're really very neat. And Greta Goat, the careless kid. Greta Goat's a careless kid. She loses everything. Yesterday she lost her purse, and now she's lost her ring. How it happens or where they are, Greta never knows. If she's lucky, maybe she'll find them under that pile of clothes. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, please visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed at the North Carolina Reading Service.